It's the LF Midwood Experience on RNI.
Tell you something's wrong right away. Let's see what's wrong. Am I getting anything on the audio? 1, 2. Wow, that's yeah. Okay, the shoutcast stream seems to be suffering for some unknown reason. Let me see. What did I get? Yeah, it's like real super low. Don't know what that's all about. Let's see. I gotta go into settings over here. Hey, welcome to the Midwood Files. Another catastrophe. See, I don't know what's picking up. If I do that, 1, 2, 1, 2, nothing. Shoutcast gets nothing. Wow, it's gonna get upset. Why am I not getting any? I'm not getting any gain to my friggin'. It's only something. Let's move that all the way up. Does that help? Nope. Doesn't help. I'm sitting here trying to figure out why my shoutcast is just not getting any gain. It's not getting any gain. That's fine. I'm all good in I'm all good over here in welcome to the show, by the way. You know what I'm saying? I'm all good over there. If I bump this up, something bad's gonna happen. I fail to understand. I'm failing to understand. This is a major issue because what this means is I'm not, you know what? I think I'm just going to have her rip the audio out of this.
Fine over OBS. Absolutely.
I don't. Okay. OBS is not the problem. I'm happy for OBS. So, okay, we'll continue. It's not one thing, it's another. And I don't like the fact that I'm kind of developing a reputation as having problems. That doesn't make me happy. But anyway, welcome to Midwood Files. My name is LF Midwood. It's been a week of playing with Linux. And I'm just trying to turn it into like an appliance. I don't need to be any sort of super smart Linux person, although I guess after a while that just happens if you put the time in. I'm not even interested in doing that. All I needed to do is be a web server for my show files, because like I said, the plan going forward, and when I say going forward, this week, next week, I'm not 100% sure when, the plan is that we will wind up... it just bugs me that I'm not seeing anything coming out of this. Nope. Let me see. Let me just check one friggin' thing, because I'm like, totally just like, let me see. Let's try that. Oh, 1, 2. Oh, there we go. I think I got it back. Well, it doesn't really matter. I'm going to strip the audio out, but anybody who goes looking will actually have a shoutcast to listen to tonight, because if they choose to do so, there we go. 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Excellent. All right. Let me see if I get a little bit more gain out of that. Just a tiny bit more gain out of that microphone. 1, 2, 1, 2. That's what I'm looking for. Okay, fine. Fixed live, as always. Fixed live. And the lights are blinding me. It's like I can't see anything. I don't know how performers go out on stage and do this. You know, like, I don't know. I can imagine Elvis not being able to see what's going on. You know, or MJ with the hair catching on fire. I'm beginning to understand that, although I think that was fireworks. Anyway, the plan eventually, when I get all settled into my Linux box and I'm hosting my files from MySpace as opposed to the producer's web space, is I gave this a lot of thought. Anybody who wants to hear the show live is going to have to go over to they're going to have to go over to Periscope. So they're going to have to get themselves a Twitter ID, and with the Twitter ID comes the Periscope, automatic Periscope login type thing. Although, you know what? I think maybe if you go over to Periscope, you can... Let me see. For those of you who have Android devices, it's a little bit different, actually. So I'm not going to make any presumptions. But the bottom line is whether you're on Android, whether you're on Windows, whatever the hell you want to do, if you want to see this show live, you're going to have to go over to Periscope and figure that out, because you're all going to have to put your big computer pants on. So what I'll do is I'll record live to Periscope, and what will happen is shortly thereafter, and I do mean shortly thereafter, the show will be made available on my website, and it'll also be made available on YouTube. So you get your pick. The reason that I'm going to be using Periscope as the live venue is because Periscope does not let you upload files. Periscope is strictly a live venture, meaning you have to be recording live in order for Periscope to take your input. They won't take files. They won't take pre-recorded like YouTube does, or like my site does, for instance. And at this point in time, I can only stream live to one place at a time. That is a defect, and I wouldn't call it a defect, but it's a feature set that has not yet reached OBS, which is the software that I'm using. Now, while I think that that would be great, it would really make my life a lot easier if they did, I am grateful for the fact that the community continues to support this wonderful piece of free software, which is pretty much as good as anything that anybody else will be using to stream with. And it's very popular amongst streamers. I know they're using it pretty much exclusively over at the H&J Network, Hank and Jim. By the way, I was listening to Hank and Jim's network. Alan Sane was doing a show, which was pretty cool. He only does them every now and then. He popped on there with his wife, and he was on there for a couple hours spinning the oldies and just chit-chatting in the chat room. And it was a great experience. It was so much fun that I forgot that I have a show. I was like, oh my God, it's getting to be like 11 o'clock. I got to get stuff together, you know? So here I am. But so that's the plan, just to reiterate. And I'll let you know when this happened. And to further notice, anybody who's watching live, and I know there are a few people who actually do watch the show live or listen to the show live. And actually, audio will not be affected. The shoutcast, the audio shoutcast streams will not be affected. So if you listen regularly on the audio streams, do not just disregard everything I said. You either have the streams bookmarked in whatever your player is, and I hope it's Winamp, or maybe VLC. And Winamp for Windows, VLC for Android. And it just doesn't have anything to do with you, so mind your own business, okay? Put it that way. But anybody who watches video and watches it live, you're going to... And I'll have some sort of whatever. Always check the website. Something's wrong, you don't hear something, it's not where it's supposed to be, always go to lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood.com. And there'll be some sort of explanation as to what's going on. It'll make your life, you understand. It'll give you comprehension. Okay, I'm waiting for it to give me comprehension. You know, like I said, it's been a relatively quiet week around here. For the first time ever, my ride thing, you know, the Medicaid ride thing that's through the state, they screwed up on Thursday, and I had to cancel an appointment, and now I have two appointments on Tuesday that run back-to-back to each other, which is actually kind of annoying. But I got up, I was all riled up, and I had some coffee. I kind of fell off the not coffee wagon. I'm kind of working the coffee and the tea at the same time, which is probably not good. I had a boatload of coffee before I started this show, by the way, just so you know. So, you know, in the interest of full disclosure. So that was Thursday. So I started playing with Linux a little bit, meaning I put it on my machine, and I was like wrestling an alligator. And the alligator won, and then I reinstalled it, and then I reinstalled it. And now I reinstalled it for like what I think is probably going to be the last time. I think it's recognized all my hardware, and I figured out, because I really started to get intimidated. I put it on there, and like, even though I didn't put the server version, I put the regular version, which basically is just the server with the GUI, which is graphical user interface, as you like Windows, you know, like you see on Windows. So I'm playing with this thing, and I'm like, I'm actually intimidated with what I need to do, because some stuff only installs like by itself on command line, like an FTP server, you know, there's no FileZilla, so I have to use a different FTP server, and it's intimidating. I've never really, you know, I'm not afraid of breaking anything. I'm afraid of breaking something in the sense that I'll break it and then have to reinstall it, like the early days of Windows. That's how I learned everything I know about Windows. It's I broke it. I busted it. It got busted, and either I was able to fix the problem or I just reinstalled Windows from scratch and I started over like Groundhog Day. Yeah. So I'm kind of going through that with Linux now. But I found that there's a program out there it's called Webmin. And what it is it's basically an admin panel for the whole computer, and you'll let you install modules for servers like Apache, which is the web server. It'll let me install, whatever the FTP program is, through its interface, which is a little bit better than just going off a command line. And a matter of fact, like the Linux geeks, they don't like it because they like, well, it either makes you lazy if you know Linux, or if you don't know Linux, it keeps you from learning. And I guess their approach is learning things the hard way. Now, I'm going to be playing with this server. Believe me, I can't just have it there and not poke at it because I'm that kind of guy. But I need it to do what I need it to do. It's actually a little bit on the mission critical side at the moment. So as a matter of fact, in order to be able to stream live to my site now, I had to boot off the old C drive that had Windows on it because I didn't take that off. So I have that to fall back on. So I may do that for a couple of few weeks. I will make a comprehensive, coherent announcement when I start to go back to regular social media. But that entails no music. I think we've had this conversation over and over again. But I will be doing something eventually when I get all this other stuff sorted out. I will be doing something that is musically inclined towards the middle of the week. I'm thinking on Wednesdays, but I'm not 100% sure yet. So that's where I'm at with that. And it's kind of cool. I mean, you know, I'm kind of almost enjoying myself, but it's something new. I mean, I got to learn, I got to figure it out, and I dabbled in Linux over the years. I think I used OpenSUSE for a little while, and it's just like when I had a machine lying around, it wasn't doing anything. And see, notice the thing is when it wasn't doing anything, and you're learning under the context, oh, well, just let me play with this, you're good to go, or I was good to go. But now that I actually need it, this is one of the reasons why when we got the original RNI server, John Lightning and I, we had an option of going with Linux, and Linux would have been a bit cheaper, but I didn't know Linux, and I knew one guy who was really good at Linux, I believe Doug from Ghostly Talk. I think I've mentioned Ghostly Talk, and I didn't want to have to rely on somebody to, you know, get my Shoutcast server set up and, you know, whatever else I was doing on that machine, you know, because ultimately I think I wound up putting Sam on there, and it got kind of involved, you know. So I didn't want to have to rely on anyone, and I just couldn't land it in like a panic like situation. So now that I know I don't have to here, this is going to be a process. It's going to be a learning process for me, and it's going to be a process for the video people amongst you. But like I said, I know for a fact there's only a couple of few people who watch live, and even they don't do it on a regular basis. So if I turn this thing just into a video podcast, I mean, it wouldn't be the end of the world, but I do want the video to go out live. And I do want to be on YouTube again, and I certainly want to be on Periscope, because Periscope is the basically Facebook Live. It's the Twitter's Facebook Live. So, like, I have about 400 people, 440 actually, who are following me on Twitter, and they would get a notification that I'm going live just because, at least the first time, and then they can decide whether they want to or not, and they would know that I'm there. And I could promote my show more on Twitter and maybe pick up some people along the way, which would be cool because, you know, I've actually started to give some thought to, like, maybe I'm, if not ready for, like, when are you actually ready for prime time? You know, it's like, when are you going to quit smoking? I don't know. When is there a good time to quit smoking? I know when I was a smoker, I was like, oh, I have to wait for this, and I have to wait for that, and I wait not to be stressed, and I have to wait, and it's just, you know, and it just got to the point where I just wasn't doing it, you know? So, and I just quit cold turkey, by the way. I know I was having a conversation with someone about that recently about cigarettes. I quit cold turkey, meaning yeah, done, finished, over. So I finally got around to it, and didn't have anything to do with the weather, and it didn't have anything to do with being stressed, because I'm always stressed. It didn't have anything to do with anything other than the fact that I wanted to do it, and I got it done. So it's kind of like that. When is a good time to switch over to Linux? So I finally got off my butt and did it. I don't know. You know, I was having this conversation, but the idea was the idea of procrastination, and how some people generally just tend to have something in their life that they're procrastinating about because it kind of gives them some sense of, oh, I have to finish that kind of thing, and it kind of, but they don't, you know, where they add something in front of it. You know, the vast majority of my infrastructure here requires me to do one thing, then another thing, then another thing, then another thing. Like, for instance, I had to get two switches. I had to get 2 gigabit switches in order to be able to have the server in my bedroom at full speed, meaning it pulls the whole, I think I'm 1.5 up, 1.5 down. It has access to all of that speed now in the bedroom, as opposed to not, because I didn't have gigabit switches. I only had older, Linksys, regular dumb 5-port switches. Which are 100 MB max. And 100 MB was never 100 MB. It was like 75, 80 at the best, you know? So I had to do that, and I had to move it in there. And then there's other stuff that I had to do in order to make it doable, meaning to even begin to work on this machine. It was almost, it's like my life is a little bit like Tetris. And I'm sure some of you, especially people who do things mechanically, you know, I know mechanics and whatnot. I think people who are restoring stuff, you got to do this, and then you got to do that, and then you got to do this, and then you got to do that. But sometimes you have to wait to do that before you can do this. It's exactly like that. So I'm moving. I'm a little rough here, huh? My voice is a little rough. Show is a little rough, actually. But so yeah, I'm moving in the direction that I want to. I feel it's going to happen when it's going to happen, and I can't put too much pressure on myself, or I'll start to go, and I don't want to go, So I am pretty sure the vast majority of server issues that I were having, and I was having server issues. You recall video server issues where I was. It was disconnecting and connecting again and disconnecting. And it was almost kind of, I hate to say it, but it was kind of buffering on my end, which is really crazy because both IPs are on the same network. I mean, it's just like they're right next to each other. But I think plugging the server directly into the ONT, or at least into the switch that's into the ONT, means there's no router behind it or nothing. It's just a dumb switch. It just doop right through. I pull the IP and that's it. I randomly put the IP into the OS. I don't think I'll be having that problem. I think the problem was is that for whatever reason, even though it wasn't very fast, meaning I wasn't pulling a lot of bandwidth, hardly anything out of the 150 available to it, I think going through the old RNT, what is it, the 5400 series, whether it's the GT or whatever, you know, the one everybody loves, they're still selling that thing because you can put, and I believe I have you know, third-party firmwares on that router. That was like one of the first routers, WRNT, you could put on there, which I think is on it. I'm not 100% sure. And that was pretty souped up, where you could put Tomato on there. People who maybe go back 10 years with PC equipment, or at least networking equipment, know what I'm talking about. I have two of those in play. One is downstairs being used as a... I have it plugged in, and it's just a repeater to my aunt's connection because there's five IPs up here. And I think the one that I pulled out, because that's the one I was playing with, that I think was giving me the problems with not letting the bandwidth through for whatever reason. I might just reset that, and I might use that as a repeater somewhere downstairs. You know, the problem with this house is, and I think I've talked about it before, is it's all old horsehair plaster and, you know, serious thick walls with dense stuff in there. And it's really hard to get a wireless signal through the walls. I mean, there's just no other way to put it. It's just now. So what's worked out best is everybody having their own, in whatever room they're in, they have a wireless router and or slash a repeater so that they have wireless from their network in their room. And I think I'll put that other 5400 downstairs somewhere. Maybe I'll get one side of the house and the other side of the house because it's pretty long. And then there'll be coverage there. And then basically I have the wireless. The only people who have wireless devices at this point in time are myself and the intern. And I set their devices, her device and my device, to switch to whatever network is the strongest. So put the password in, and then so it just kind of, it's not really like a mesh thing, but it just goes from network to network based upon what's strongest. Because I'm actually running 1, 2, 3, at this point in time, 3 wireless networks. And I could easily do 4 or 5 if I had the wireless routers, of course. And so I look at new routers, and I'm a little bit on a networking kick because I had to do all this networking stuff in order to get where I needed to get at this point. I look at these new routers, and like new routers, like the new state-of-the-art routers, they're like $250, $300 for a single router. I was like, I don't think I ever paid more than like $60, $75 for a router. $50 maybe was a lot of money for a router. And they claim all coverage. You can get single coverage in the house. And I know it's the 5 gig rather than the 2.4. I think my router only does 2.4. I think my regular router only does 2.4. You know, because I have two, I can't remember. I really honest. I think they're Netgears, and I think they're like in that 3500 series. So they do just 2.4. They don't do 5. But even if I got 5, that really wouldn't help me out that much. Because I just the walls. I just can't do anything about the walls. I think what I would really like to do is put an antenna for the router in my attic. because my attic goes basically front and back, and I could, if it would actually penetrate, because I know it makes a pretty large difference with, say, my police scanner. I went out and I bought a decent antenna for it, and that antenna is in the attic, and I know it gets a lot better because it, you know, gets a lot more reception, all of the state of Rhode Island, really. Some of Connecticut and a good chunk of Massachusetts, actually. Massachusetts is pretty big. Whatever borders on us, like definitely Bristol County and one or two of the other counties. Because it's above all the RF. It's above all the other electronic noise. It's mashing. It's really good. I should run it more. I might set up a stream just for that. I was thinking about doing that in addition. Oh, yes, and a bonus. That would be a bonus stream. You would be able to listen to Providence Police and Providence Fire. Ooh, exciting. And that's just dispatch for police, but for fire, it's everything. Fire and rescue is everything. Here, I don't know how it works in wherever you're at, because this is like all over the country, let alone all over the world. But slowly but surely, they have phased in. Firemen are basically EMTs as well, so they don't really have to have a separate EMT, division or company or, you know, of people or department. I guess that would be the term. I don't know what they're doing in New York now, but I know that that was always separate. EMTs and fire was separate. But here, they kind of phased it. And the vast majority of communication between rescue, we call it rescue here, which is EMT, between rescue and the hospital is done over cell phones. So that's not something that I can pick up on my scanner, but I do pick up fire calls and what's going on at a fire and whatnot. Sadly, but I mean, it's pretty decent coverage. And I only get police dispatch, which is still, because it gives you an idea of suspects and it gives you an idea of what's going on and what supposedly is going on. And sometimes, because things happen so quickly, the responding officer he doesn't have a chance to switch over to one of the other encrypted channels. So he stays on the main channel and they clear it for him, meaning dispatch. So I guess I put three side notes in there. Side note, and then another side note. But anyway, my point is that, yeah, if I could put one antenna up there, and even if it just got me continual coverage outside when I was outside the house, like in the backyard, I'd be happy as a clam. But it's not that important to me at this point, because I'm using my phone's data. My phone has an unlimited data plan that I barely scratch on a monthly basis, and I've pretty much been using it exclusively on the internet for all of my social media and whatnot. So, and I've been watching a fair amount of videos on it, because I just have, as opposed to having to use the tablet, which is right here, the 10-inch, on these wireless networks that I'm talking about, various wireless networks. Actually, I've named them after science fiction planets. The first one is, I think, Zahadum, which is from Babylon 5. And I got an Alderaan here, I think, although Alderaan's not set up. And I think I'm going to change the bedroom. I had the bedroom one in my bedroom set up as the Republic of Kekistan. But I think I might change that to, like, I'm not sure. I'll have to pick a planet from maybe Gallifrey, which would be Doctor Who's home planet. So that would be kind of cool. So it's just three different sci-fi thingies. But, you know, I'm a little geeky, so what can I say? I do have some other stuff that I wanted to talk about this week. Oh, you know what? Well, I might as well, while I'm on the personal stuff. Look. So here's the deal. I recently ate 18 tacos again. I got to be honest about it, okay? Haven't done it in a long time. I was working on, it was Thursday night, as a matter of fact, working on the server. I'm all freaked out working on the code. And the intern just got the okay from the doctor to use her knee to go driving. She can drive now, okay? Although the car is still in sad shape, right? So we got this car. And as long as it's cold, we're okay. The car, like, acts mostly all right. But lately, it's just been stalling, period, which is actually kind of scary. You have to experience it in order to understand what I'm saying. But it's got a little rhythm thing. You can kind of figure out what's going on. And it's like, you go for a short period of time, and then you stop. And then you go for a short period of time, and then you stop. And then you go for a short period of time, and then you stall, because you didn't have any chance. You didn't give me an option to stop, right? So we decided we want to go to Taco Bell. I just walked in, and I said, I need either burgers or tacos. I do not care which. I needed something that was fucking, had a lot of fat in it, and that was bad for me, and copious amounts of it, you know, along with my diet Dr. Pepper, which is really humorous, right? So she's like, oh, okay. So we get in the car, and This is the thing. She has not driven this car in like 2 months, so it's kind of dilapidated into the state that it's in now, which is like I said, it's stop go, and sometimes it'll just stall on a turn no matter what you do, not related to the heat. If the turn is too wide, or if you come to a stop, she'll rumble, but if you go just a tiny little bit more, she'll stop rumbling. So there's something, if you just kind of keep it steady on the gas, it's fine. It'll do exactly what you need it to do. But the problem is that you have to stop for red lights, or most of them anyway. So we get in the car, and I'm trying to tell her how this works. And she gets annoyed because it's like, well, you know, I know how to drive. And I'm like, I don't know if you know how to drive this car, though. So we get there, and I think we stalled just as we pulled into the parking lot. We stalled, which is really funny because it's a drive-through that we're going through now. So we had to sit there for a minute in the parking lot, and I'm trying to, you know, tell her what the deal is. And I forget what time it is. We actually get out of the car, and I'm like, you know what? Cut the engine. We'll go inside. We'll get what we need, and we'll leave. But it was after midnight, so I forgot that they just did drive-through. So we're sitting there for a couple of minutes, and, you know, she tries it, and it turns over, and, like, we get into the spot, and it stalls right as we get into the spot. So it's like, okay, let's just sit here. You wait 5 minutes, and so it turns over. Vroom, vroom, vroom. All right, so we back it up. We go through the drive-through. We put the order in. And I always get annoyed because you know how people, when they order food, they, like, over-explain it? Do you know? It's like, basically, all this person needed to know was 2 taco 12-packs, 1 hard, 1 soft. She always makes sure that she gets the word beef in there. Now, I was trying to explain to her that, not for nothing, that's really all they do on those tacos is just beef. There may be on some higher level of taco-ness that I'm usually don't mess with because I've always gotten plain old tacos. That's what I get when I go to Taco Bell. I don't get nothing new. As far as I'm concerned, there isn't anything else on the menu other than plain old tacos. You know, no sour cream, and no whatever, just no tomato. Just give me the plain old tacos. You got some lettuce. You got some cheese. You got something that passes for beef with a goddamn shell around it. That's LF Midwood. Damn straight. I don't go in there and get gorditas or this or that yet. I don't want to have to learn another fucking language to eat. Nope, not my fan. I'm in America. That's the end of that story. So, always. So I tell her, she's like, oh, 12 beef tacos. Do 2 12 beef tacos beef? And it's like, you know what? The people who work in these restaurants, and I'm not, believe me, it's our fault as a society. So, I mean, I'm not blaming them. But the people who work in these restaurants, there's a button on the register. For whatever you say, there's a button on the register. And if you give them something that doesn't fit that description on the register, they're going to stop and they're going to go, what? Because you gave them too much information. So you just kind of, and this is how I go through life. Not even, you know, and this is like maybe a microcosm. But I go through friggin' life trying to format information in such a way as the person who I'm speaking, trying to communicate with, I give them just enough information to be able to get what I need out. No more, no less. So when you go and you go 12 pack tacos, hard and crunchy and hard and soft and beef. They're like, and he asked what? He said literally what? So we're like, yeah, okay. So here's the deal. 2 12-packs, 1 hard, 1 soft. End of story. Done. Done. You're finished with that. You no longer have to deal with that. You've moved on to giving them the card. And the next big thing should be, do you want sauce with that? That's the big thing. That should be, nope. Nope. That's all you need to know. Give them that, and then you move on to the sauce thing. And, you know, again, we usually tell them, we would like a variety, please. So that solves that. They just and they throw it in there. They throw it in there like they own the sauce company, by the way. Huge, copious amounts. Which, when they had that green sauce, I really loved that green sauce. There were times where we just asked for a lot of green sauce. It's their Taco Bell's equivalent of, I can't remember if I started talking about this, but what the hell? It's Taco Bell's equivalent of, or was anyway, because they discontinued it. Of a salsa verde. And I've had plenty of salsa verdes. I know what salsa verde is. I think the only pre-made salsa verde we've had in the house as of late is from Trader Joe's, which is fine. But, you know, it's just a matter of cooking up the tomatillos, adding the garlic and some other spices. But there was just something about, maybe it was the xanthium gum, you know, the stuff that held up. I couldn't really tell you. I don't know. But I really liked it. I mean, I would just, like that. I would do that. I would. I'll admit it. So they discontinued it. It's gone, and they replaced it with some sort of really super hot sauce called Diablo. Now, let me tell you something. You know a sauce is hot, a pepper sauce is hot, when it starts to get a little fruity. You know, when they start to add fruity elements. They're moving into that Caribbean thing. You know, like the Scotch bonnets or I forget, the habaneros. There's the term. Like, even if you go and use McGinney's there, you know, the standard hot sauce Tabasco company. They make habanero. It's actually sitting down in my cabinet. They add like mangoes and some other fruit elements to it. I mean, it's still habanero. It's still like super hot, you know. But so when a sauce starts to have a little fruitiness to it, you know they're not fucking around. And it's okay, you know. It may be, but I really like that green sauce. So there we are. So I had to just cut the engine while we're waiting for the food. Just turn it off. Just turn it off. So what's it? So we get the food, we get the a variety mixed bag of sauce, no napkins, which is really weird because usually we get like a ton of napkins. But anyway, so I'm sitting there with these two boxes of tacos, one hard, one soft, 12-pack, one hard, one soft, sitting there on my lap. And I tell her, stop again. So she starts it, so we're getting there, we make the turn, we make our left, we're going where we're going, supposed to, it's going pretty good so far. And then all of a sudden, it stalls. And it stalls in traffic, of course. But luckily at 12:30, there isn't a whole lot of traffic, but it stalled in traffic. And it's like, she's only been through this once or twice. I've been in this car with my aunt stalling in traffic like 100 times, 100 freaking times. So it's, you know, it's all like, you know what? It's just stop where you are, put the fucking hazard lights on. And if anybody's got anything to fucking say, they can say it to me because I'll get the fuck out, you know? And I can't tell you how many times with my aunt that I had to get out. And it's like, I think, the problem is that the vast majority of people who populate this area where I live are Dominican. And I say one more time, you know, Dominicans are like, they're like Latino hillbillies. You know, they're worse than the Puerto Ricans look down on them. Do you understand what I'm saying? So first pair of shoes, whole nine yards, you know, and who knows how many of them here are legal and not illegal. I don't even want to start to think about that. But there are a lot of driving. And I think this is their first like real something that is in a coconut mobile for, you know, and they're yeah, so it's like the idea becomes they don't know what hazard lights are. But when the big fucking 250-pound, 6'3" guy gets out, starts pointing at the fucking hazard lights and go around us, around. They're like, you know what I mean? It's just easier for them to go around than argue. So they go around. Now, if the hazard lights were on, and we leave space. Would an American with an Americano, whatever that is anymore, I'm not even sure. They see the hazard lights. They see the light go green. They're behind you. What do you do? Oh, I'm just going to go around them. You know, and generally, for the most part, there's a lot of two-lane stuff here. So they can do that. With a single lane, they got to wait and make sure traffic's not going in the other direction. I'm fully get that. But bottom line is that with my hazard lights on, there's no fucking reason for you to be honking at me if you passed an American driving test. there's no reason. You see the hazard lights. This person, they're not moving. They're not going anywhere. They're trying to tell me, because their hazard lights are on, that they are unable to move or there is some sort of situation occurring in the automobile so that I should go around them. I shouldn't stand to sit behind him and honk the fucking horn. I should go around them. Now, most people do. They pass the test. That's great. They must have, you know, yay, welcome to America. Now speak English. Great. Wonderful. But there's just a certain lowbrow addition that, and I got to get out, and I got to go around. I got to put the tacos down. I got to go around. So there was one guy, because we stopped at a light. And the car stalled. We weren't going anywhere. So we put the hazard lights on. And the guy, it's red. And the guy's, and then it goes green. And he starts honking. And I'm like, I get out of the car. I point towards the lights. And I go around us. Go. And he's giving me lip. And I'm like, go around us. And then I get back in the car. Finally, he fixes it. And then he's like, oh, I had to wait for the light to go green before I could go around you. And I'm saying to myself, why is this cocksucker fucking talking to me, let alone honking at me? If that was your plan, why were you honking? Why were you honking at me?
That's, you know what I mean? Why are we even communicating at this level if you knew what to do? So don't all of a sudden make it like you knew what to do. You obviously didn't know what the fuck was going on and you were waiting for us to move despite the fact that our fucking tail light, you know, the hazard lights were that one thing for sure on that car works. It's the hazard lights. Believe me. Take my word for it. You know, I know. So the car kind of went out another couple of few times. Figures, right? And then finally, we're like a block from the house. And it does again. It stops in a couple of minutes. Start, you know, and then just, you know, I hate to say this, but the inspection, the car has not been inspected. So we don't have the recent inspection sticker because the car's not going to pass inspection. Obviously, the car's not going to pass inspection. So, and it's still registered. The registration's all good. But it's not going to pass inspection because she wants to move the registration over from that vehicle with the plates and all that over to the new vehicle when that happens, which hopefully shouldn't be more than like 2-3 weeks. So there's the extra added bonus of stalling, and now we really can't talk to the police because the police are going to be, first thing they're going to do when they come over and ask what's wrong, they're going to look, because this is what they do. This is how they generate tickets. This is their job, to generate tickets. They're going to look and see the car, it's expired. They're going to be like, oh, your registration's expired. Did you know your registration was expired? And we're going to be like, oh, really? So I think we'll get one warning on that, and it'll go into the system. But it'll be one warning in each city because we're in Cranston and Providence a lot. There you go. I'm like the criminal mind at work just to be able to go get some tacos, for Christ's fucking sake. This is what my life has been reduced to. Yes? Just so you know. So, in this last little bit home, there's like, we saw the cops once or twice doing other stuff, which was right, great, but we drove right by them when we make the turn onto the block to make the turn onto our block. I think you understand what I mean when I say that. The cops had stopped someone and had him out, like, perp up against the fucking, it was like SWAT shit. And we're like, holy shit. We made the turn, got, and luckily, they were obviously preoccupied. We made the turn and we got back home. Yay. And the tacos were room temperature, which is fine because they normally are. But I think what should have been maybe a 20-minute thing turned into like an hour and change. So the good news is I don't plan on going out for tacos anytime soon. Just so you know, my voice is totally shot. Anytime soon. Tacos are off the menu. I will not be eating any tacos, let alone, I think, if it was probably like 17. It was probably 17 tacos. It was definitely my 12 and then a couple of few of those soft ones. So whatever the number is. Hadn't done that in a while. Haven't gone near a scale. The scale, when I go into the room that the scale is in, the scale starts to whimper. So I'm leaving the scale alone until I get back into the gym. And I'm not going to get back to the gym until I get the new car. And that's why my life is like Tetris. So I figured I'd start working on the Linux stuff. And that's why now I've got my head up my ass with the Linux stuff. So that's all, that's, I think, on a personal level. And she was all frazzled. I mean, she was just, you know, the intern was just totally, you know, and I'm telling her what to do. And she's just not, it's not registering, you know, because she's like panic mode. And she's like, I don't ever want to do this again. And I'm like, you know what? I hate to tell you, but we're going to have to take the drive to do laundry like in like a week or so. But, you know, for some reason, a vehicle seems to do better when it's like super cold. But I also noticed that a lot of the stalling has nothing to do with temperature because the temperature is not shooting up or nothing. Oh, you know what? Is it still there? Oh, I can't even get into it. Oh, maybe I can. Did she? No, she didn't do that. Of course not. I got an email from, this is great, Bob. I don't know if I mentioned this before because I know things have been a little, but someone named Bob, and it's Bob at Yahoo. So it's like the first Bob. It must be like the original Bob. You understand what I'm saying? It didn't say Bob 279 or Bob 864-5789 or any of that. It just said Bob at Yahoo. So either that dude was like the first Bob at Yahoo, which is, I feel he's somewhat celebrity, or he spoofed the address, which is perfectly fine. But I'd rather think that it was the first Bob ever. That would be so cool that the first Bob ever at Yahoo emailed me. So he emails me, and I forget exactly what he said, but he was basically, he said something that the thermostat. Okay, Bob, you know what? I think it's like at least a month ago, 6 weeks ago that you emailed in. Bob, you know, I appreciate the advice. And, you know, obviously sometimes people overlook the obvious 100%. But this vehicle is way past having thermostat problems. Way past that. Way past that. You know, that's the difference between, like, oh, the first monkey in space versus the moonshot. We're at moonshot level now. We're at moonshot level. So I do appreciate your concern and taking the time to email. And that one caught my eye. You know, I got a couple of few that trickle in, and I generally don't say anything. But Bob, I finally had to get around to man around to mention Bob. So thank you, Bob. Thank you very much. And if I were going to spoof a dress, why would it be Bob? I would spoof something more interesting. Well, but then again, I guess it would be obvious that it would be a spoof. But then again, the first Bob? Seriously, there's got to be like an internet hall of fame somewhere. And it's like, you know, there's a picture of the first Bob at Yahoo. So it's Bob at Yahoo.com. Think about that. Bob at Yahoo.com. Anyway, I don't have any jingles pulled. I'm just not. I was really, like I said, I was listening to my good friend Alan Stain over there on the Hank and Jim Radio Network. I was in the chat room over there, which I haven't been frequenting too much, but I've started to move back in there a little bit because I was starting to get my mental stuff together, and it's like certainly a shame that that would happen. So that's the place to become unraveled a little bit. So I was in there, and I knew I had to plug my Windows C drive that has my video server on it back into the physical box that is my server, and I didn't pull any jingles because I was like, you know what, the FTP is down, everything, you know, you'd have to, oh man, you know, people think that I just sit here and yammer, but there's a lot more to this than that. Now, when you get stuff set up properly and it's humming, everything's great. But it's in a state of disarray right now. See, that's what introducing the idea, and now we're beyond the idea. It's no longer conceptual. There's a hard drive that Linux lives on that Ubuntu. I think it's African for something of all things, you know. Ubuntu, which means if it's African, it only means that some white man's going to have to come along and fix the fucking thing, right? Don't you think? Anyway, the Dark Continent. Hey, have you ever noticed, side note, when, like, Christians, and I got nothing against Christians, I'm Christian myself, but, I mean, they're just, you know, they're different variations thereof. Have you ever noticed when Christians, I mean, even, like, Mormons or other Christians, and yes, Mormons are Christians, they're like Christians dipped in Judaism, just a little bit, you know, with the magic underwear and the whole 12th tribe thing, or is it the 13th tribe? No, wait, that's Battlestar Galactica. Oh, I'm so confused. But anyway, have you ever noticed when Christians go on friggin', you know, whatever mission and do missionary work, they always go to Africa. They go to the Dark Continent. You know, it's like they get extra points. You know, they get extra, like, goody two-shoe points for going to Africa. They don't ever go to fucking Detroit. They don't ever go to fucking Chicago, where we could use some help in these inner cities. Wouldn't you say? Wouldn't you say? Yes, indeed. Thank you. So, you know, I could never understand that. I could never, no, we're going to go to the Dark Continent. No, no, no. We're going to go dig a well in the Dark Continent. You know, we're gonna introduce the idea of a can opener. Yes, can opener to Africa changed everything. Amazing. Why did I do that? Anyway, I think I got some news I wanted to get to. I'm wearing my other glasses. I go like that. Don't become alarmed. I might leave a little divot in my forehead from having the glasses up there. But I did have some stuff that I looked at that I wanted to possibly be able to get to. And I have about 45 minutes. So half the show is me ranting. And the other half of the show is maybe something that might be of interest and or use to my fellow Americans. You know, I really miss, I don't know how far some of you go back. I know some of you go pretty far back with R&I. Back in 05, when I was living in Dallas, the intern and I were doing the show together. And I was right near Degrassi Knoll, so I had JL put together a, I have to play it. I don't have it handy. Maybe next week, just to give you an idea of how cool it was. It was like the coolest opening ever, that as far as I'm concerned. And I just really can't use it anymore because I'm not in Dallas, but it was perfect. It was perfect. Anyway, so everything since then has been a letdown. Yeah, it's all been a letdown since like 91, quite frankly. Anyway, let's see if I can do this. I gotta get some sort of music or beds or something or another. Running low in the background. Running low. Okay, so, wow, the light is so ungodly bright in here. Okay, first of all, Ann Coulter. Ann Coulter's like, that's it. She's done. I mean, she was always hypercritical of President Trump. I mean, like, super hypercritical. Anybody who follows her on Twitter or any of the other social media that she engages in or interviews, she's on Fox on a semi-regular basis, and various other conservative outlets. She's been critical of the president in one particular area, and that would be the building of the wall, which was obviously a campaign promise. Now, things are moving along in that category, but not enough for Ms. Coulter. I think she even has a countdown. She has a little countdown on Twitter, how many days since the wall has not been started, which is, you know, kind of interesting. Now, you know, not for nothing, I always liked Ann Coulter. I like the fact that she really seriously annoys liberals. She's has an uncanny ability to be able to really get under their skin, which is really cool. I didn't even have a problem, I think, a few years back, maybe even a decade. Jeez. She got into it with the 9/11 widows, the women calling themselves the 9/11 widows, and they were you know, they had husbands that died, so they were 9/11 widows. And there was, she took a lot of heat in that particular foray because they were the 9/11 widows. How could you disagree with the 9/11 widows? Because I believe they were, and maybe justifiably so, hypercritical of GW's administration. Remember, I'm never a fan of the neocons. So I'm sure GW was a nice guy, and I'd love to sit down and have a beer with him, but I think he should have been getting better advice, particularly in regards to having some sort of exit strategy in Iraq, you know, or maybe even being smart enough to use different, you know, use the, what was it? What party was he in? The Ba'ath Party was Saddam's party, and they were basically the ones doing all the torturing and policing and everything. Well, they should have minus the torture, and they should have used them as the police force. That's what they should have done. But instead, they disenfranchised the Ba'ath Party, and they wound up becoming insurgents. And the problem is that they were highly trained, or, well, whatever passes for highly trained in Iraq. I think you understand what I'm saying. So instead of doing that, they went in and they disenfranchised everyone, and everybody hated us, and IUDs and all sorts of bad things started to happen on a regular basis. Anyway, I got off on a tangent there. I don't think that would be a side note, really. I think that would be more of a tangent. She got in with 9/11 widows, and she took a lot of slack because they were the 9/11 widows. But here's the deal. If you're not going to politicize yourself, okay, or in any way, shape, or form, and you're just going to be something, and you have one thing, and that was, oh, I'm a 9/11 widow, and I don't ever want this to happen again, and it was a horrible thing, and this is how it affected my family. Okay, fine, cool with that. But when you politicize your situation, when you turn your situation into something, you literally politicize it, meaning you're getting into politics, and you're saying this, that, and the other thing, you're now basically making yourself fair game for anyone. That's exactly what the 9/11 widows did. And once they were fair game, Ann Coulter went at them like it was like skeet with a shotgun. Boof, 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 boof. Great. It's not just politicizing. You know, they took a stance, they became critical, and they took a particular stance, and that's it. So I'm going to say one more time, when you do that, you can't sit there and say, oh, that's, you know, because that's like saying I can throw anything I want at you and then hide behind this rock and you can't do anything to me. Or if you do something to me, it's immoral in some way. I didn't have a problem with her. I've always, you know, in that stance. That was probably the worst of it, although she's been involved with a couple of few controversies here and there. But it was Doug Ann Coulter. She's cool, you know, no problem. Now, obviously, there's been a divergence in regards to her attitude with the president, particularly since he hasn't gotten a wall up in what would be considered a timely fashion. So she's basically at this point in time declared herself a never Trump conservative. She's gone. That's it. So she's no longer, you know, and I think those of you who were Trump fans early on, and certainly even later as he basically turned the GOP on its head to one degree or another. You know, I find it amazing, you know, those first couple of weeks and even months into the administration where, you know, these people had to go and, like, for lack of a better term, kiss the ring, you know. He won, you know. And I think, not for nothing, I think the president was awfully gracious in regards to embracing these people, just from the standpoint of that he had to work with them. But there was a lot of crow being eaten by these people. You know, someone like Paul Ryan, you know, seriously. When you look at the mainstream conservatives out of the GOP, out of the Republican side, I don't think there was a one of them that even endorsed the president. I mean, I could be wrong about that, but, you know, if there were, it was far and few in between, and yet they had to go work with him. And he put them in positions. I think at least early on, there was a little bit, he tried for a little bit of balance to try and incorporate these people who were saying, never Trump, right? And that he, because he knew he had to at least attempt to build some sort of coalition, for lack of a better word. And obviously that didn't really work out too well. But Coulter's gone to the other side, as far as I'm concerned, because mainstream Republicans or mainstream conservatives are probably not the biggest issue, but one of the biggest issues, as far as I'm concerned, is standing in the way. Again, I'll point towards Paul Ryan. You know, when we look at these, what is it, rhinos, Republicans in name only, you know, at the end of the day, they I'm not even sure what they think their contingency is, but it's not your average American. And you know, another one who's kind of, not even kind of, he slipped over and he's basically even gone off the rails. And I think I've mentioned, Mike Cernovich, who, you know what, not for nothing, I'm going to say this. And I think I've been consistent in me talking about this, you know, Mike Cernovich of the alt light, or what are they calling themselves? The new right now? I think it's the new right. Yeah, that's really working out. He's a dick. You know, but he's our dick. I forget what was the big story he broke, you know, because he has White House credentials. One of the few of the alt-lighters that did. So he had credentials. And he's just an arrogant fuck, you know, not for nothing. You know, and as long as this is the deal. I don't care if you're an arrogant fuck, as long as you're doing the work. You know, and I view the work being stuff that I think needs to be done and is of interest to me. Yeah, why shouldn't I? I mean, you know, I think Cernovich has always been a dick. He's always been an arrogant dick. But he was like my arrogant dick, for lack of a better term. Well, that didn't come out right. But I think you understand what I'm saying. You know, it's the same thing with David Seaman. I think David Seaman's he's an absolute pompous asshole, not for nothing. You know, and like at least half the time he spends touting how brilliant he was on making Bitcoin predictions. I don't give a fuck about Bitcoin right now. I'm sorry. You want to talk to me about Pizzagate? You want to talk to me about Pedigate? Yeah, absolutely. And he sticks on that. As a friend of mine used to describe it, like a bulldog. So, but he's a dick. He's an arrogant dick, but he does the work. You know, so Mike Cernovich was always an arrogant dick, but he did the work. Now he's not doing the work. Now he's on the other side. I mean, I think he even, you know, he basically said he's off the Trump train, 100%. And then, you know, I don't know whether he was being satirical or not, or what the deal was, because he thinks he's really smart, but he's not. He was talking about how, the vast majority of America's problems are due to Christianity, and that America needs some moderate form of Islam. Cricket. No, I got this new sound that I make, you know, derp. Okay. I use it universally for various things, but that's definitely a derp moment. So, yeah, Mike Cernovich is off my list. I've stopped. Actually, I'm still following him. And every time he puts something up, I put in his comments, what do I put? Alt-light punk. Because I've got nothing better to do. Coulter's now amongst the missing, as far as I'm concerned, you know. And it's really interesting because I would say a lot of, you know, people who swung, would qualify as alt-right. Certainly not a mainstream conservative, kind of, you know, they kind of hung in there with it. They were like, and so did I, you know, but I can't do it anymore. So scratch Ann Coulter off my list. Boy, that was a lot of yammering just to talk about Ann Coulter for a minute or two, wasn't it? Anyway, I was talking so long, my tablet locked up again. I don't even want to read the article. I just kind of did my best to, you know. Let's see. The college student. This is pretty cool. The college student who faked the subway attack. This is going back a while ago. Some of you know the story because I think it made the rounds on Twitter for sure, and it was mainstream for a little while. This Islamic woman who faked her being attacked on in the New York City subway system, and they found out that she was lying. She got sentenced. I think, let's see, what did she wind up getting for that? And it's interesting, in the era of hoaxing, and I guess I'll talk about Jesse in a couple of moments. Traumatic train ride, let's see, supporters. See, she lied about Trump supporter. She, I mean, she lied about, and specifically, she didn't just lie about being attacked on the subway. She lied about being attacked by Trump supporters. Those hoaxes irrational. Let me see. I want to see the actual story, and I can get an idea of what she got sentenced to. It's a pishu. Oh, this is actually a decent article. It's officially a pattern. The left Islamic theater is absurd. Hardly harmless, these hoaxes incite irrational leftists and violent Muslims to hatred and violence. Yeah, you know. Well, I'll talk about that when I talk about the Jesse thing. What did she get? She's 19 years old, copped a falsely reporting an incident and disorderly conduct for a bogus claim. Sweden of Sewell of Hyde Park, New Jersey, Long Island, said hate-filled white men harassed her and tried to snatch her hijab off her head during an encounter on December 1st. I think it was December 1st of the year before. I don't even think it was the last one. What did she get? I just want to know. I don't want to read the whole article. No, this is from Pamela Geller's site. Okay, so if she copped to those minimal charges, you know, she didn't really wind up. It doesn't say. That's a really annoying. I want to make sure. It just says false reporting an incident and disorderly conduct. She previously admitted she wasted police resources to cover up her missed curfew. So that actually sounds a little Tawana Brawley-ish, if you ask me. Okay, but hoaxes obviously have become very popular. Jesse has brought them into style, right? Jesse Smollett? What's the dude's name? I had no clue who he was. I don't watch Empire. It seems a little Wee Was Kangs-ish to me, and I just don't even, I'm not interested in that at all. I watch my NBA, so I get plenty of black men. You know, I know what the deal is. Sometimes I watch the WNBA, so I get it's real interesting. The WNBA is more like the NBA used to be when it was just white guys and it was a little bit more flat-footed. You know, they don't have those hops. Those of you who are into basketball might understand what I'm saying. But it seems Jesse went from basically having a lot of support to having zero support. Apparently, he arranged the whole thing himself. I gone so far as to my understanding, and when I heard this, I knew it was like, oh man. He wrote the two Nigerian brothers who he contracted or had worked for him or worked for him in some other capacity, perhaps in his entourage. He wrote him a check for the supplies, you know, for the rope and the bleach and the gloves and whatever they used. So basically, he wrote a check for a crime. For fighting a crime. So it's like, oh my God, right? Now, I was talking to somebody about this recently, and they're like, oh, he's stupid, and it's just on him, and he's an idiot, and it's not really a political thing. But yeah, I think it is a political thing in the sense that was just brought out in the article that I mentioned on this young, quote-unquote, I'll be nice and say young lady, who falsified a report to the police saying that it was a Trump supporter. See, when you make it a Trump supporter, it's not just, oh, you're giving a little bit of a black eye to Trump, or at least attempting to. What you're doing there is you're possibly inciting, organizations like, say, Antifa. It just gets them going, and then not for nothing, who's to say that at some point in time some unhinged liberal who's had enough of these Trump supporters, violating people's personal rights and assaulting them, decides to go on a shooting spree or some other real act of violence that, we'll turn around and we'll say, oh, well, you know, they were a lone nut and they did it on their own and, you know, they just woke up one morning and had the idea to do this. And it's like, you know what? Not necessarily. I think Jesse, I think first of all, you know, he's being charged. I think it's going to wind up being some sort of felony or whatever. But I think he himself should be charged with a hate crime because he was trying to manipulate people's feelings and make them feel that he himself was the victim of a hate crime. I think that he himself should be charged with a hate crime. That's my own personal feelings on the matter. And I think it is highly political. I don't think that it's an afterthought, that he did this and it was an afterthought. No, I don't. I think possibly it's to the point of trying to cash in on the Coventry kids and what turned out to be a total fake news with the kids and the drunken Indian dude. The drunken Indian known to be someone who manipulated and falsified reports. I even forget the dude's name. Big Chief Whiskey. I really honestly can't. There's so much going on in my life that I can't really keep track of these schmucks, you know, for the most part. So yeah, I think he was trying to cash in on that. He says, and now backtracking, he says, oh, well, he wanted more salary. He wasn't satisfied with his salary that he was getting on, that Fox was giving him for the black show, whatever it is. I can't figure out, and this is where the stupidity part comes in. I can't figure out how he felt that, that was going to raise his value somehow. You know, maybe I don't get that. And I think they're looking at him for federal charges in regards to connecting him to a letter that was sent to the show's producers, or at least to the show itself. I think there was some type of white powder in there that was supposed to be some sort of emulation of anthrax, but I don't think it was. It was obviously not some sort of soap powder or something. Someone was doing these soap pods. I don't even really know. But the whole thing was just went kaboom, you know. And what really bugs me the most is there's still kind of a lot of people are backtracking because they jump to the conclusion, especially on a lot of them darkies are backtracking. They be backtracking. But, you know, it's interesting when I kind of look at what this guy did in the sense of what could qualify as a hate crime. Excuse me. How I see it. And what Roseanne Barr did, and, you know, Roseanne Barr woke up under the influence of friggin' Ambien. And I basically, let me tell you something. I know what it is to wake up and not have Ambien out of your system. I mean, it's a pretty decent drug, and it helps me because otherwise I wouldn't sleep at all because of my mania. But it's helpful, right? But the whole point of it is that if you take Ambien and then for some reason you do wake up, and some people do wind up waking up as a side effect. Other people just wake up because they wake up, and it's not necessarily a side effect. I can tell you, if I took Ambien and I woke up 4 hours after taking the pill, I am most likely not in my right mind. Literally, I might be in what could be considered an altered state. Knowing that that is true, yes, knowing that that is true, and having Roseanne Barr saying that that was pretty much the circumstance that she was under when she woke up and started tweeting. Because let me tell you something. I'm on Twitter a lot. I'm on Twitter when I first wake up. I'm on Twitter during the day. I'm on Twitter right before I settle down. I'm on Twitter right before I close my friggin' eyes and go back to sleep. I'm on Twitter. I'm looking. I'm reposting. Blah, blah, blah. I'm there. I'm on Twitter. That's what I do. I'm on Twitter. So I kind of get where she's coming from, you know? So she lost her TV show. She was called a racist. She was I don't know if she's been blackballed. Hopefully she's going to be back in some way, shape, or form because she's a tremendous talent. Meanwhile, you know, Jesse fakes a hate crime, a legitimate hate crime. He fakes it. And we don't know what's going to happen to him. You know, maybe a slap on the wrist. You know, my understanding is that his mother was a Black Panther. You know, and you got to remember, not all the Panthers were walking around with guns. I mean, they had social programs and all sorts of, notice I used the word social, as in socialism. They had all sorts of programs that they were feeding people and families and doing all sorts of things. So I don't know exactly how militant his mommy was. But by all reports, by all accounts, she is an admitted self Black Panther. And I think his two sisters interned for the Obamas. Yeah. And I find that the Black community, like people like Kamala Harris and whatnot, I really haven't had a whole lot to say about good old Jesse. I'm wondering when it comes down to meeting out the punishment, whatever punishment is deemed appropriate by those who are in charge
I wonder if there aren't going to be people speaking up on his behalf behind the scenes to get him a lighter sentence. You know, who knows? Maybe he'll wind up with Bill Cosby. Maybe he'll be sharing Puddin' Pops with Bill Cosby, which would be nice. Which would be nice, you know. We'll see. We'll see. But this is basically what it's all the liberals have left is they're faking stuff. They're faking stuff because there isn't anything real. They have to literally, in their own minds, justify the feeling of animus that they already have and have had since day one. The vast majority of them, they don't know why. I would like someone, let's go out in the street, ask your average liberal why they think that President Trump is a bad man. Is a bad president. What a orange man bad. And they'll be, he's a bigoted, he's a bigoted racist. And why do you say that? Because that's what they told me. That's what they've been saying. So it must be true, right? It's not a fucking schmuck, right? I read it on the internet, so it must be true. Thank you, Doug, wherever you are. Yeah, orange man. So it's just this case, you know, it's not just Trump derangement syndrome, because Trump derangement syndrome would at least in some way, shape, or form indicate some sort of gross exaggeration of something. I try to be relatively critical of everything because, well, I'm an asshole. That's what assholes do. We're critical of everything. true that, as they say. And I have not found, oh, I'm moving the mic. I haven't found too much to be critical of President, the wall, definitely the wall, right? As far as, NAFTA and policy, I'm waiting for something better on NAFTA. As far as his personal life goes, yeah, you know what? Not for nothing. It's the whole pussy snatching thing. I'm not 100% sure what occurred or didn't occur there. I understand the concept of locker room talk. I've never been a fan of it myself. I try to remain a gentleman. And I think all you ladies out there, all like three of you. Well, definitely, maybe more than three, but would definitely agree with that. So I don't agree, you know. But what did he do? You know, he's sexist because the whole pussy grabbing thing, and it's like I don't, you know, as far as what happened between him and what's her name there, the porn star, or it may have happened between him and any other high profile beautiful woman, is between him and his wife. Now, does it affect character? All right, so if we're going to talk about character and we're going to talk about womenizing and character and how that's wildly inappropriate for the White House, we can talk about Bill Clinton. I'm not even going to get into the rapes. I won't even talk about that stuff. I'll just talk about even the consensual stuff. That dude had his cock out, you know, for fucking 8 years. Seriously, all right? No, I'm wrong about that. And then we'll go to, not for nothing, we can talk about JFK. I mean, I think JFK was certainly on record being a womanizer. Marilyn Monroe was the tip of it. You know, that, oh, pardon the pun there. I think Angie Dickinson was on that list. There's a few women of that era because he was that kind of guy. But yet, somehow it didn't affect his career because he's a Democrat too. You know what I'm saying? So we kind of overlook these things, you know. Is it a character flaw? I don't know. I would prefer not to know one way or another because, you know what? That's not my business. I'm not a, you know, ultra-conservative Christian right dude. That's not my business. Generally, what people do in their bedroom isn't really my business. And I would even say the same of homos. People know I don't like the homos, you know. I was over at the Hank and Jim Radio Network, Tuesday, I don't remember, Gymnasium was on. And he starts playing friggin' Elton John. And everybody loves Elton John. And I said clearly in the room, in main chat, you know, they don't make fags like that anymore. And there was a little, oh, ooh, you know. And then Jim himself laughed because it is funny. You know, they don't make fags like that anymore. Or Freddie Mercury. I'm waiting to see that movie, by the way. And I think there's a biopic on Elton coming out, which could be kind of interesting. I'm just going to skip the Don't Let the Sun Go Down on Me segment. But not for nothing, you know. Do I wish these things weren't reported? Yeah, but it's not my business. It's literally not my business. And not for nothing, what happens between consenting adults, which pretty much rules out fucking Bill Clinton for the most part, what happens between consenting adults is their business. It's not my business.
And not for nothing, you know, I look at Donald Trump and I look at the, you know, the resources available to the man. I think not for nothing for a lot of women. I think that he would be some sort of trophy fuck, for lack of a better term, right? I mean, not for nothing as far as, you know, being able to provide and, you know, as far as like going out there and the business thing. And it's like, oh, he's gone bankrupt so many times. And it's like, you know what? But that's the nature of business. This is it. This is the deal. You balance your checkbook maybe on a monthly basis if you're fucking smart enough to do it. And yet you're going to criticize the man who has lost and gained more money than your whole family ever in the history of your family is ever going to be able to make, and you criticize this man? You're truly ignorant. Truly, it is ignorance, plain and simple. Orange man bad, because that's all you have. You don't have anything else. So take your liberal bullshit, stuff it up your faggot fucking ass, and crawl back under the rocks that you were hiding under when GW was in business. Thank you very much. Anyway, gonna move on to the next story. See, this is what happens when I have coffee before I go live. Yeah, we might want to cut the coffee out. Woohoo! I think I blew out a monitor on that one. All right, going back to Twitter. See, what I do, I think I've explained this before, is I bookmark stuff for Twitter that I like, and okay, this was big, actually. I didn't want to miss this, and you know, I got about 20 minutes left, so I could definitely talk about this a bit. The Robert Kraft arrest on prostitution, on soliciting a prostitution charges. Now, if it just stopped there, it would be like, all right. But apparently there are elements of, because it was a ring, there are elements of sex trafficking. And anytime you have, you know, sex trafficking involved, it's important, especially if it's, you know, minors or close to underage, which would basically be the same as minors. I like to make sure that element is exposed and talked about, so we don't just, you know, blow it off and saying, oh, well, it was just a rich guy getting his jollies. Yeah, you know, if a rich guy was getting his jollies, again, I got the idea of prostitution, that's another thing. If a woman wants to do that with her money, unfortunately, not for nothing, since the dawn of time, that's been the one thing that practically any woman would be able to use as barter. I mean, I'm not, you know, I like the idea of monogamy for the most part. I refuse to explain what that meant. Anyway, you know, so you got to kind of look at it. You know, I think there's two things that a woman would be able to do. And pretty much, you know, I think any woman can wait tables, probably. I don't even know if they could do that very well. And any woman can sell sexual favors, and I don't know if they do that very well either. But the point now becomes is those are like the two things practically anyone. One of the two things that, you know, I think a woman would be able to make a way for herself in this life. Particularly putting themselves through college or some sort of situation. Am I a fan? No, of course not. But, you know, what are you going to do? I'm not going to tell you not to, you know. I would, again, prefer not to hear about it. If I don't hear about it, then it doesn't bother me. You know, a lot of these morally uptight people, I get it. I understand what you're saying. And when it goes anywhere near children or you know, people being exploited, adults being exploited, I'm 100% there with you. Tell me who to hack and I'll hit them with my machete. I promise I'll do it. I'm that kind of guy. I'll do it. But I just can't run around morally policing grown-ass adults, okay? That's pretty much, you know, that's what, let the police take care of that. You know what I'm saying? Midwood doesn't want to do that, so. But this is starting, and the indication is that he's not the most high-profile name, as this is an still unraveling story. And it's real interesting because Q put up a post, I think it was a few days ago, that mentioned something in the context of being more exciting than the Super Bowl, as far as something happening or something occurring. And it's real interesting because, again, with Q speaking in code so much, you know, and things that you decipher, it would be interesting, the usage of the word Super Bowl and then the arrest of Robert Kraft, who seemed pretty much always wins the Super Bowl, let alone won the last Super Bowl. So that's pretty much pause for thought and make things that make you go, file. Let me see if there's anything actually interesting in this story. Yeah, there are names. This was an ongoing operation. So there's a whole bunch of names on this list. It's a couple, at least 100 and change. At the press conference, Juniper Police Chief Daniel Kerr and Detective Andrew Sharp told reporters that Kraft had visited the Orchards of Asia Day Spa on at least two occasions, transported by driver each time. The spa's clients, Sharp said, either paid $59 for a half hour or $79 for an hour. The probable cause affidavit obtained by Deadspin describes in detail the visits of 26 individuals to the spa, although it does not identify them or match their names that appear on the list. Kerr and Sharp also confirmed the existence of video evidence obtained via cameras police secretly planted in the building of each individual receiving these prostitution services. So there are 173 warrants. It was a 6-month operation. And Dave Curry alleged that trafficked women were lured against their will as sex workers. Well, there you go. So it would be interesting to find out the ages of some of these women. And many of whom came from China on temporary work visas, averaged about 1,500 men per year. The ringleaders gave them no days off, and their hygiene was minimal. Ew, not for nothing. I think there was just, I can't find out who it was because I'm not that smart, but I think there was just a big-ass lawyer who was pretty well-known, who was on that list, or wound up being on that list. In a related note, the state of California, God, fucking California, Ernie, I wish they would just shoot off into Mars. Slowly making you accept pedophiles, infanticide, and sanctuaries. Okay, so California, let me get into this. This is a different, not related, but kind of related story. CA Democrats introduced LGBTQ bill that would protect pedophiles who rape children. Let me explain this to you. State Senator Scott Wiener, a Democrat out of San Francisco, and Assemblywoman Susan Eggman, a Democrat out of Stockton, introduced recent legislation to end blatant discrimination against LGBT young people regarding California's sex offender registry. Okay, so this bill has to do with the circumstance that you would have to register under the, to the sex offenders register thing in California. Wiener claims the current law disproportionately targets LGBT young people for mandatory sex offender registration, since LGBT people cannot engage in vaginal intercourse. I'm not quite sure what that means 100%. Existing law, the Sex Offender Registration Act, amended by Proposition 35 by voters in 2012, ban on human sex trafficking and slavery was added. Oh, that's brilliant. Thank you. Thank you very much, State of California. Requires a person convicted of a certain sex crime to register with law enforcement as a sex offender while residing in California or while attending school or working in California. Wiener says, currently, for constitutional yet illegal sexual relations between a teenager over 15 and with a partner within 10 years of age, sexual intercourse, i.e. vaginal intercourse, does not require the offender to go to the sex offender registry. I'm going to repeat that. Currently, for consensual yet illegal, notice the word illegal is in there, sexual relations between a teenager 15 and over and a partner within 10 years of age, sexual intercourse, i.e. vaginal intercourse, does not require the offender to go on to the sexual offender registry. Rather, the judge decides based upon the facts of the case whether sex offender registration is warranted or unwarranted. Yeah, let's give it to the judges in California to decide. Why don't we? Anyway, by contrast, for other forms of intercourse, specifically oral and anal intercourse, sexual offender registration is mandated under all situations with no judicial discretion. This bill would authorize a person convicted of certain offenses involving minors to seek discretionary relief from duty to the register if the person is not more than 10 years older than the minor. So if the person isn't 10 years older than the minor in the case, then they feel that it should be left to the judges to decide rather than just, you have to be on the sexual offender registry. This is bullshit is what this is. They're obviously, they're paving the way for that. Pedophilia is not, it's not a sexual preference. It's a mental disease. It's a defect that needs to be dealt with as such. And I don't give a fuck what the age difference is, quite frankly. If it involves someone under 18, and even not for nothing, even women and men and, you know, and boys and girls 18 and over, depending upon their mental faculty, you know, this is why not for nothing, and I've always kind of felt kind of weird about this, but this is why the idea of when you talk about Bill Clinton and you talk about what happened with the blue dress girl there, I can't think of her name, you know, while she was in her 20s, you could arguably say that given his position of power and the level of awe that she had over him, that could technically qualify as rape in the sense of that, did she really have a choice? Did she felt she had a choice regardless one way or another? I can't remember her name, but the blue dress girl, you know who I'm talking about. So again, California proving one more time that Sodom and Gomorrah still lives. You know, what was it? Hollywood Babylon, they refer to it as. Yeah, you know, I'm going to play some Misfits one of these days. I am going to be doing some sort of music thing during the week when I get myself squared away. I want to be able just to play music and yammer a lot less and play music and maybe not do politics or current events. I'm moving in that direction. What time is it? Oh, I still have 10 minutes. Okay, so. But yeah, I love the Misfits. Played any Misfits in a while. I won't just go. Anyway, so that's what California's up to. Big surprise there, right? Yep. Sanctuary cities. Thank you, California. Because they're so much smarter than the rest of the world. I think they've also adopted a similar bill as Virginia did in regards to infanticide. Thank you very much, you fucking murdering bastards. Speaking of Roseanne Barr, yeah, apparently she went up, and I think she was wide awake this time. I don't think it had anything to do with Ambient, although I could be wrong. I believe she went up on her YouTube channel and basically ranted about AOC, although she didn't use her name, which is really kind of funny. Either she didn't really know it, because, you know, you forget people's names, or she didn't want to specifically name her, but I believe she called her a, what was it? Let me see if I can get this specifically. I don't want to paraphrase, because it's just too funny. A Farrakhan-loving, bug-eyed bitch is what she specifically referred to AOC as, which is really kind of cool. I'm not quite sure where the Farrakhan reference comes into. Let me see. This was a Fox News story, so it may or may not be there. Let's see. Nope. Wrong one. Here we go. And this is the fast tablet. Imagine what the slow one would do. Roseanne Barr took to her YouTube channel to slam Rep. AOC, calling her a Farrakhan-loving, bug-eyed bitch. Barr posted the nearly two-minute video over the weekend on her channel, which has more than 104,000 subscribers. She never mentions the New York Congresswoman by name. Instead, the actress referenced to AOC as the person who introduced the Green New Deal, an economic stimulus package designed to tackle income equality. Climate change. The Green New Deal, Farrakhan-loving bitch. I just have to say it again. I don't remember her name. The bug-eyed bitch who looks like a realtor. Barr says in a video while chewing gum and widening her eyes towards the camera. Barr was referring to Louis Farrakhan, the leader of the Nation of Islam, who has a history of making anti-Semitic comments. She got them realtor eyes. She got them, that 66-year-old actress has. Bug-eyed, lying, Farrakhan fan, Israel hater, lefty, dumb as they get. Dumbass, dumb as they get. So, yay for Roseanne. Yeah, I'm no fan of Israel myself. But Jesus, actually, she's discovered her Judaism-ness, her Jewishness later in life. Because she's a relative big fan of Israel. I think she's into Kabbalah as well. But, like, in apparently a bit more of a serious manner than, say, Madonna was, because I know that was very fashionable at one point in time. I find that to be amusing and interesting. I don't want to start talking about Israel. I'm not. Don't worry. Not that you were worried about it. But yeah, I'm not the biggest. We'll just leave it. I'm not really the biggest fan of Israel at this point in time in my life. You know what? I have tea here. Let me see if I can get some. My throat is killing me. I should cough drop or something. I get nothing. See, I got it open, but it's one of these things where you got to just get the right amount of air in the other thing or it don't come out. Yeah, I got a thimble's worth of tea. That should work. I love this cup because it really is. This is a real legit thermos. I don't know if you can see that. Gunmetal. Ooh, thermos cup, all metal, screws in, metal top. But it just, it's the slide thing on top, which is plastic, has to be, and it's heavy duty, mind you, but it has to be in just the right position for the air to flow, for the liquid to come out, because it's science. It's science, boys and girls. It's science. What else was I going to? Oh, you know, just to close out on this, I don't have the video clip. And I don't even know if I definitely could play it. I want to maybe work in video clips at some point in time into the show of things, of various things. I can do it rather easily. It's not that difficult to do that. Just have to add it as a source in OBS. But it will take some dabbling, and there'll be a learning curve, of course. But there's this clip of Dianne Feinstein in her, and I guess a bunch of school kids of various ages in her district came to her office and they wanted her to support the new Green Deal. And Feinstein winds up talking down to these kids and really rather actually being kind of nasty to them in the process of explaining to them how she knows better than the million or so people that voted for her, you know. So I suggest putting Dianne Feinstein school kids into YouTube, and you'll see what I'm talking about. It's funny as fuck, not for nothing, you know. Definitely don't. She's definitely not the grandmotherly type. Does she have kids? She's like a fucking arachnoid, you know. Not too good. Not too good. Anyway, I think unless there's anything major, big time that I missed on this list, I did not add my mic processor into line. I want to do that really, so maybe I'll do that this week. I'm not 100% sure. That'll be fun. I always enjoy tweaking audio. I could fall down the tweak bucket for hours and hours and hours. I'm probably going to do that because the audio streams that I'm going to run out of here, the high and the low for whatever music endeavor I wind up running, I'm going to be using software processing because it's built into the automated system. So I get to tweak that for hours and hours and hours until I get that just right. And as I made clear, I'm moving more towards hardware, or actually I'm moving towards hardware processing here. I got the mic processor, and I got my eyeball on the regular processor that I want to throw the compressor limiter gate that I want to throw on the end of my final into the PC. So that'll be hardware-based, meaning it'll go from my board to this unit, and then it'll go into the computer as opposed to being on the computer real-time. Let's see. Is there anything else that I really feel totally 100% got a hit? Oh, you know, I just wanted to mention this. Bill Mitchell, who hosts the podcast, he posts the host of Your Voice America, name of the show, Your Voice America at Your Voice America TV, and that's on Monday through Fridays at 9 p.m. Again, his name is Bill Mitchell. He's pretty well known. His mom is dying. She's in hospice at this point in time, and she's actually been in hospice, I think, now for at least a couple of few days, and I don't think she's communicating, meaning she's unable to speak, but the nurses tell him that she's able to hear him and hear on the family members. So they're staying by her bedside as much as they can, obviously, and I just wanted to mention if you can send some prayers or some positive energy out there. Just so that she has a peaceful death and that she passes with some level of dignity and that the family has something to look back on in some sort of positive sense when they think of it. You know, I have a soft spot for people who deal with hospice, and I think the actual people who run hospices are heroes, plain and simple. Anyway, let me get the flock out of here. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm definitely going to stay away from the coffee next week, so do not worry. Everything will be fine. I ask you please to visit the Midwood Files. That's lfmidwood at lfmidwood.com. It's lfmidwood at lfmidwood.com. You'll see my archives, which actually, I think my archives are kind of dead except for the last two or three shows because they were on my home server, so I'm still working on that. But the last two or three shows are available, so if you missed last week's show or the show before that, you know, you have the opportunity to check those out in replay form. My social media is over there. And like I said, coming up in the next few weeks, if you want to hear me live on Saturday, you're going to need a Twitter account. So you might as well mosey on over to Twitter, set your account up, or if you have one, dust it off and maybe actually follow me, which would be pretty cool because I've only been asking you to do that forever. So you could do that and that'd be great. So anyway, my social media is there. A certain amount of archives are there. I will restore the older archives soon. There's a contact form up there. You hit contact and you can send me a little message. Or if you want to put your big person pants on, you can email me directly at lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. That's lfmidwood@lfmidwood.com. There's a link over to John's site. Be sure to tune in tomorrow at 8 p.m. Either or actually maybe 7:30 for pregame. See what's on between 7 and 7:30. See what's going on the streams. It'll either be John Lightning or it'll be Dave the Boogeyman. The other folks that make the trifecta of 11LRNI as it currently exists. I got rid of those S's too with that process. I got a little desibilance. I thank you for tuning in. I thank you for imbibing in any fashion that you have. I also thank you for being patient as I try to get my infrastructure into such a manner as I won't have to play with it again for a while. Put a lot of work in, and then it just stays and it hums, and that's the kind of thing I like. Just like when I set up John Lightning server, it was the same situation. It was a little bumps up front, and then you get that worked out, and it spins like a top. So again, I thank you all. However you imbibed, catch you all next week. And let me move over here so I can play my close. And I think I'll do that, all right? And then I'll hit my close. Where'd my close go? My close disappeared. Hang on. Move it. The long goodbyes. I hate long goodbyes. There we go. I think that should do it. All right, put that there. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Midwood Files on Radio New York International. Thanks for listening. RNI.